Well, good morning, Grace people. It is good to be with you, and good morning to those of you who are watching in the fellowship hall this morning or online today. Together, we are worshiping the Lord and hearing from His Word. Well, I have a question for you this morning. Where are you from? And I'm not going to ask you to raise hands and tell me, but I do want you to think inside. Where are you from? And by that, I mean, where did you grow up? And what was your hometown? When you think of your hometown, where is that place? I imagine there are memories that flood your mind when you think about growing up in your hometown. My hometown was just across town. It was New Brighton, Minnesota. And last summer, while my wife and I were just enjoying a day out together, we visited the Historical Society of New Brighton. I grew up there and had never been to the Historical Society. It's a small building, but it was cool. It was fun to go over and see the many history books and antiques and things that were about the community in which I was raised. And then there were aerial photos that went back to the 1960s, as well as maps that went all the way back to the founding of the city in the mid-1800s. And of course, when I looked at those aerial photos, what's the one thing that I want to find? I want to find my house, right? To point it out, to look at it, to be like, oh, there it is. There's my home on the most recent one that was posted up there that day. It's like, there it is in 2000. And I went, that's now 25 years ago. Wow. But be it ever so humble, there is no place like home. Unless you're Jesus of Nazareth. In our scripture reading from Luke 4 today, Jesus is just beginning his ministry, and he has been preaching all around the region of Galilee, and it says he was doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit. Once again, as we have been talking about the Spirit of grace this year, the Holy Spirit is so central to Luke's gospel, and here it appears again, speaking about the ministry of Jesus, fully empowered by the Holy Spirit in the region of Galilee. And as he was out preaching amongst the many different cities in Galilee, the news was getting out about just the kind of ministry that he was doing. So then, within the region of Galilee was his hometown, Nazareth. And when he showed up in the synagogue, as it says, which was his practice, he went in and was invited to read from the scroll of Isaiah, the great prophet, the most quoted book in the entire New Testament from the Old Testament is the book of Isaiah. So much richness, so much prophecy, so much at the heart of what God desired for his people. And he spoke these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he told them all that this message was from the prophet, which they would have all been very familiar with, and expressed to them that it was now fulfilled in their hearing. Wow. Wow, what a word. And the crowd went wild. They were inspired. Yay! This good news was for them. That was what they heard. Way to go, Jesus. Wow. Isn't that special? Isn't he Joe's boy? You can just hear him saying it as they're whispering to one another. Oh, yeah, Joseph's boy, carpenter boy. Oh, he's done good, hasn't he? And then there's the plot twist. Jesus explains to them that the good news wasn't just for them. It was also for the Gentiles. And that's where things come off the rails. Jesus expresses to them from these two great stories of the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha, expressing the problem that was going on and their need for good news and God's rescuing. But Jesus points out specifically in both stories how the rescue didn't come to God's chosen people, Israel. Instead, the rescue went out to two Gentiles. And the people were furious. In an instant, they turned on Jesus and were ready to throw him off the cliff. How could things go so bad so quickly? It's because the people of Jesus' hometown heard the message, but completely misunderstood the mission. Jesus is declaring the good news, such powerful good news, empowered by the Holy Spirit, speaking these words of Isaiah and then applying them to his ministry, a ministry that would bring freedom to those in prison, that would bring sight to the blind, healing, lifting of the weights of oppression off the shoulders of people. And all they heard was that this was for them. But Jesus is declaring the good news of God's incredible favor, grace, which is for everybody. Everyone. And here's the thing. The message is the mission. And the mission is the message. They are inseparable from one another. Jesus coming to declare the good news of Jesus, the good news of salvation, the good news of what God was wanting to do for them, was sent to do that. His mission was to bring the good news as he was embodying the good news. That's the mission and the message. The message is the mission, and the mission is the message. It was true then, and it is true now, but we still struggle to fully understand it and receive it. See, here's the thing about the gospel message. It only works if it's for everybody. If you separate the message from the mission, you get neither. It is either for everyone or it is for no one. Now that might sound pretty stark, but it's clear in the ministry of Jesus how true this is. When Jesus is speaking to those gathered in the synagogue, he says, "You will probably quote to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.'" What an interesting way to start the whole communication. What is he talking about? Well, you find another spot in Scripture where Jesus talks about this idea of the physician. He says, the physician comes to heal those who are sick, not those who don't need any help. And once again, Jesus is making it clear that if you don't think you need any help, then no help is coming. If you're convinced that you're fine, that you're getting through life cool on your own, or that you're a pretty good person, that should be enough for God. You have missed the message and the mission. And here's the thing. Some want the message without the mission because they feel that it's only for people like us. The message of the gospel is, well, it's for good people. It's for people who come to church. It's for people who have their life together. It's for people who wouldn't ever do anything to offend God. But it can't possibly be for those people out there, the ones who aren't like us, the ones who haven't got it all together, the ones who haven't cleaned up their life yet. They need something else before the gospel could ever be proclaimed to them. They need to get it right before they could receive this message. But that's not true, because the message is the mission, and the mission is the message. And Jesus proclaimed this across the entire area, every place that he went, and he told his disciples to do the same, that this message was for everyone. But the flip side of it is some want the mission without the message. They would be happy to just go and do some nice things for people, but don't talk about Jesus. I mean, we might offend somebody. Somebody might feel uncomfortable. Friends, if the way you are talking about Jesus makes somebody reject you, I would first ask, how am I delivering this message? Because not everybody is going to receive it. That is true. But far too often, the reason that people don't receive it is that they're not offended by the gospel, they're offended by us. By the way we approach them, by the kind of words that we use around them, the very fact that we talk about them and us. That's not the message. Jesus, in bringing this word from Isaiah, is echoing the words of the angel that stood before the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that shall be for all the people, everywhere. And it's echoed in Mary's song, this understanding that this gospel, Jesus coming to them, incarnate, God truly with us, means he desires to bring this message to everyone in every situation in life. When you receive the message and the mission, well, then it starts to really hit home, because you realize your deep need for the message from the one who has been sent for you as well. And then because of that, you're called out from home. You leave the comfort of that which is around you to go to those who need to hear the message, to those who need to know the love of God. We had a group of people who went to do that just this past year. And I want you to take a look at a video that was put together so that we can see what that trip of the message and the mission was all about.
It's a long week because things go very slow here. So it's not something very easy at the beginning, but then you get used to it. What's interesting is to discover the benefit of slowness, not only on your personal thinking, but also in the relations.
Everything I did this week was different from what I would usually do. Visiting people's houses, people that did not know me, and just worried, okay, as an American, why would you invite me in? Why would you trust me to talk to you and your family? But they were so incredibly trusting. They didn't have any suspicion. There was a joy that really transcended understanding. There was a gentleness about them that was really beautiful. So the house visits were so much better than I expected.
We visited a second home, Suzanne's house, and she was a little depressed and wasn't eating well. And we found out her husband had been deported to an island near Haiti, and then he was deported back to Haiti, so he was deported twice. And so she had no clue of where he was for the last month or so, and she was just kind of didn't know what her process was going to be for getting in contact with her husband. And so we asked for prayers at the end of our time, and we go around and we pray. There was four of us praying, and we went around. We have an interpreter with us, and the three of us prayed from our mission trip here, and then the interpreter prayed, and we all prayed for information and knowledge, and we finished our prayer, and her daughter comes out of the house and says, "It's Dad on the phone, it's Dad on the phone." She hadn't heard from him for 30 days or more, and there it was. She got an answer. God is in this place. God is in this place.
It was so generous of the Lord to let us witness a miracle. It would have been a miracle if Suzanne's husband called her 20 minutes later. But the Lord, in all of his mercy and love for us, made sure that he called Suzanne to tell her that he was okay 20 seconds after we were done praying. And I will forever be so in awe of the Lord for that moment, and just so thankful that I was able to be there as Suzanne praised the Lord for knowing her husband was safe, as her kids and grandkids were praising the Lord and her neighbors. God is so good, and I'm so thankful that I was able to witness that with Gary.
I could see God working in us in the extreme profound relationship we build together with our smiles and our desire to meet and to know more each other. We got the chance to go and paint a house, actually a pastor's house, and just to be with the family and to leave something really deep.
We walked into the home, and it was kind of daunting at first for a couple of reasons. One, it was kind of dark in there, dark and drab, because it was just kind of concrete walls. And it was daunting because we went into one room, and granted they're smaller, but then we noticed we need to paint not that room, but the other room, and the other room, and the other room. And I'm thinking, how are we ever going to get this done? Everybody just picked up paintbrushes, paint rollers, and we went to work. And I cannot believe how we just completed the painting of that home. The pastor's family, they were just so appreciative of the work.
Just such a wonderful gesture, and it was so sweet. And afterwards, we all prayed, and he actually prayed for us. It was so appreciative that his house got painted.
I love to go on mission trips because I get stretched. And so as I, my prayer for this trip was that I would be stretched in a way that was different and would be a different experience for me. Well, another saying that I have with my son is we do remodeling, and we do everything but dirt. And so I'm reading this devotion and I'm thinking, whatever. Also, I hear that little voice in my head going, "You're doing dirt today." Sure enough, we get to the job site. We're digging trenches for a bathroom in the mud.
Part of the fundraising that we did last spring, the excess that we collected went toward funding a bathroom. We started to digging the footings, forming up the rebar, hand mixing concrete on the ground, and bucket brigade moving the concrete into the trenches to form the footings for this restroom that once finished will have a separate area for the women, separate area for the men, toilets to use, showers to use, and it's not just for the church that it's being built at, it's for the whole community around the church.
I was privileged to be able to be on a medical team, and so every day we served the Haitians and the Dominicans in a medical capacity. And what we ended up doing is using churches in the communities to set up the medical clinic, where we had providers and triage people, a lab, and then pharmacy.
I think over the 4 days we saw about 480 patients, a variety of different ailments and diseases. Really wonderful to see them receive the care. We had a lot of medications, ways to do some basic testing, for diabetes and for respiratory diseases and other infections.
There's so many people in this clinic and they were all piling in. People still had a smile on their face. They were still appreciative. It was really a joy to serve people that were so loving, so kind, so gentle, so trustworthy. And my favorite part was playing baseball with the kids.
Playing with the kids.
The kids.
The kids.
The children.
The kids.
Babies and children.
And the kids.
The kids.
I was blessed by going to be able to spend time with the children, and really it was a good mix of, I felt like I was giving something back by working and then giving something back by playing with the children.
We were able to just allow the kids to join in, even though we had language barriers between English and Spanish and Creole. We were able to communicate God's love.
Some girls that I met at the beginning of the week, and I could see each day as we saw them again that our relationship was continuing to grow closer. I learned their names, they learned mine. We had to remember it each day as we saw each other again. But as the week went on, they chose to start putting colored strings in my hair and braiding it. And I did the same in return for them. And it was just really beautiful to connect personally with these young girls.
I was able to have 3 different contact naps with babies in the DR this week. And just the trust that they put in me was such an honor.
We had put hands on top of each other, and then we go 1, 2, 3, and throw our hands up in the air and say, yay! And we did that multiple times. It was so wonderful, so beautiful.
All of us have an anointing when you're in a place like this. So many stories and miracles that happen that you would not believe unless you witnessed it yourself.
I witnessed very clearly the people we were with see people the way Jesus sees people and serve and love and teach. It inspired me and helped me grow in my faith. And the community that we served did the same thing.
Message is the mission, and the mission is the message. Wasn't it wonderful to hear the stories of the way in which God works in places when we're willing to get out of our comfort zones, when we're willing to understand that the message and the mission are from Jesus himself, and that they're for everyone. Every one of you is here today because somebody was on a mission to bring the message to you. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a sibling. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a friend or coworker or classmate. You didn't get here without the Holy Spirit working through somebody to share the good news with you. Here's the thing that's also about the message and the mission. Sometimes people struggle with the message because they don't think they're worthy of it themselves. How could God possibly have good news for me? How could God possibly, knowing the things that I have done, the places I have gone, how could it possibly be for me? Well, if you're not sure, just listen. Because the Spirit of the Lord is on me to tell you the good news about Jesus. He sees you as you really are. And he came to free you from the prison of sin and condemnation. And he wants to open your eyes to see God's unconditional love for you. and to lift the weight of despair off of your shoulders. And then he wants to use your life, as imperfect as it is, to bring the message to others. Because that's what he did for me. In one way or another, that is what he has done for every person in this room. There is somebody in your life right now who needs to hear the message. And the only way that it will happen is if you embrace the mission and are willing to humble yourself, step outside of your comfort zones, and speak to someone. Let the Spirit of grace speak to you. Receive the Lord's favor, which is grace, on you. And then carry that grace with you out from this place. That's the message and the mission. May we always follow Jesus wherever he leads us to go, and to whoever he calls us to meet. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus. And Lord, we confess that sometimes we are confused. Sometimes we mess up the message and the mission. Lord, frequently, because Lord, we are sinners. We are broken people. And sometimes we have our own agendas that have nothing to do with what it is that you desire. Lord, in those places, would you forgive us? Would you heal us? Would you allow those deep wounds to be places of healing, so that that healing that you bring to us is the healing that we can share with others? Start that work in us today, Lord, fresh and anew, so that when we see someone in need, we can be the one to come and bring the message by the mission that you have called us to, Jesus. Thank you for this grace in our lives and the grace to carry it to others by your Spirit. We pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen and amen.